This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إخوتي في الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. First of all, my dear brothers and sisters, if there are sisters who are listening to this, I did not prepare anything that is worthy of mentioning other than reminding myself and reminding you few nasiha or advice and a lesson that I learned from someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. Sometimes you know what to do, you know what is your responsibility, you understand the purpose of your existence and creation. But due to limit or the limited understanding that we have of things, sometimes we may lose sight of the most important things in our lives. And you need someone to remind you of that. And sometimes these reminders may come from very unexpected ways. Once I was watching, and out of curiosity, I was going through YouTube and I was listening to some of the nasaih of the ulama, very short nasiha. And on the side, on the left side, on the right side on the screen, I saw a man who is paralyzed. And I, out of curiosity, that was a long time ago, by the way, out of curiosity, I clicked on him. on that, so I can watch what this man who is paralyzed has to say in this area. He's not sheikh, he's not wearing imama, he's not, you know, with a big beard, he's not, you know, it's just a side, you know, icon. So I clicked on it. So when I clicked, the host, he asked him a question. And he said to him, "You are in this situation right now. هل من أمنية?" He said, do you have any regrets? Do you wish for anything? If Allah gives you back your health? And this young man, subhanAllah, I expected that he would say, you know, if Allah gives me my health back and my limbs are again working and I can run, I can do, I would do this, I would do that, I would go for this, I would go for that, I would... So this young man, surprisingly, he said, I only have 3 wishes, that, and I wish if I could fulfill those 3 wishes, but I can't. Attentively, I started listening to this young man and I wanted to know what he had in mind. He said, first of the 3, say, I wish if Allah restored my health, I wish to make and perform 1 rak'ah. Just 1 sujood. Didn't say rak'ah, I said 1 sujood. I just want to make 1 sujood, nothing else. And after I finish this sujood, Allah can take back my health and I can be paralyzed once again. And he said, I'm afraid due to the time that I wasted. I was young, healthy, running around, smoking, you know, wasting time, you know, no salah, no nothing. And I never wished for sujood when I was in that situation. But now, I only wish for 1 sujood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I'm afraid when Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, يوم يدعون إلى السجود. Allah said, the day that they would be ordered to make sujood, فلا يستطيعون, and they would not be able to. I'm afraid I will be resurrected and gather with those people who are not able to make sujood. And I reflect on myself at that day. I still remember. I reflect on my situation. I say, subhanAllah. When, if I ever did, that I really wished for sujood. When in my life that I ever said, you know, I should make sujood. You know, I really should just get up right now and make sujood for Allah because I don't know what would happen next. Never contemplate it. Never reflect on it. Never thought about it. I assume it took this health and opportunity that Allah is giving me, it took it for granted. I assume I will always be able to make sujood and I will die in a state of sujood. But I never thought that one day perhaps Allah may deprive me from sujood. And this is when the Messenger of Allah said, the closest you can be to your Lord is in the state, in the position of sujood. So this young man, he said, his name is Abdullah. He said, that is my ultimate wish. He said, my second wish was Allah to give me the ability to turn over the page of the Quran once again. Just to feel the page of Quran. I can't feel them right now, he said. If you put the Mus'haf on my hand, I can't feel it. I can. And when I was healthy and young and was running, playing ball, driving around, I never appreciate that I can just get up and grab the mushaf and open it and flip the page. He said, but I just want to feel the page once again. And subhanAllah, in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Messenger of Allah said, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Two blessings that a lot of people, and I would say most of young people, are extremely full by. And الغبن يا إخوتي في الله is when you are not intelligent enough to go to the marketplace and buy things in a due price, in the respectful price of that item, and someone will fool you. You know, this, you know, drink is $1, £1, but the shopkeeper, he sells to you £5. This is called ghubn. He tricked you. So the Messenger of Allah said, a lot of people are tricked. Shaitan is the one who's tricking them. They are tricked when it comes to time and health. And now, see brothers, sometimes maybe your parents will force you to pick up the Qur'an. And they will say, did you review your Qur'an? Did you read your Qur'an? Are you ready for the Qur'an class? Maybe they would have to really go out of their way just to ask you, you know, pick up the Qur'an. Read your Qur'an. But this man, his ultimate wish is not to be wealthy or to be famous or to be, you know, anything else, but just to be able to turn the page of the Qur'an. Guess what was the third wish? Third wish was just to get up and stand right in front or next to the door, and when his mother comes in, kiss her hand, her feet, and her forehead. I guarantee you, everyone who almost sitting here has a mother. And I guarantee you, majority of us, for those of you who have mothers, I guarantee none of you kiss your mother's hand, feet, or head today. Because you assume that again she's going to be there when you go back home today. You assumed this morning or before you left home that she's going to be there. And she's going to be there tomorrow when you wake up. And she's going to be there the next day as she was all the time. I have a very, very good friend of mine, subhanAllah, in the city of, you know, Oslo. And his father, subhanAllah, his father was a very righteous man, inshaAllah. And his father was Hafidh al-Qur'an, subhanAllah. And 2 days ago, the day before yesterday, he introduced me to his father. And he said, you know, this is my father, Sheikh Saeed, would you, you know. And we shook hands. And this young man, at that time, يعني الله يقول, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمَ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. He said, if I knew the future, I would do much of good deeds and no evil would ever touch me. I would never regret for anything. And I'm sure this young man is not regretting anything because inshallah his father is from Ahl al-Jannah, inshallah. And the khitam over was very good. And subhanAllah, this young man, he drove me to the airport. And I flew from Oslo to London. And when I got here, I get a phone call saying that his father just died. Just like that. Had he known that his father would not live another day, I'm sure he would go and kiss his hands and feet and would not drive Brother Saeed to the airport. He would spend last minute of his father's life or last hours of his father's life with him. But he didn't. And likewise here, brothers, this young man, he's saying, I wish if I can get up and kiss my mother's forehead. Because, yeah, subhanAllah, you see, when I was young again and healthy, I never used to do that. As a matter of fact, I used to make her worry about me. You know, where is he? What is he doing? Who is he with? What is he, you know, doing with his time? How is he living his life? Every time he leaves the house, she's worried about him. But now he says, she's the one who takes me to the bathroom. She cleans me. She gives me a shower. She feeds me. She changed my diaper because the man cannot move. She changed him, subhanAllah. And he says, subhanAllah, I just want to show my gratitude towards my mother and just kiss her forehead. Just once. And when I do this, Allah can take my health again back. Can take it back. That's it. I fulfill my wish. And subhanAllah, again, ya ikhwati fillah, I know you guys don't understand. You know, if you lost your mother, if you had no mother, you probably would appreciate this. But wallahi, I would say utilize the time that you have, because tomorrow, regrets, remorse, sadness, grief will not help. When the time is too late, it's not going to help. So today, inshallah, all of us who are sitting here, we can all do the three things. We can just get up and make sujood right now. We can get up and make sujood right now. We can just pick up the mushaf and touch and feel and flip the page. And inshallah, if your mother is still alive, I would say, go home. And when you go home, grab your mother's hand, kiss it. Grab your mother's feet, kiss it. Grab your mother's head and kiss it. Because this is the least that you can do for her. Least that you can do for her. You know, sad that a lot of young people don't appreciate this opportunity. But remember, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was getting on the minbar. And then he took the first step. And without looking at the Sahaba who are behind him, he said, Ameen. And then he took the second step. And then he said, Ameen. And then he took the third step. And then he said, Ameen. And then he turned and he gave the khutbah. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, indeed you did something that was not usual for you to do during this time. What happened? He said, when I was getting up, when I was climbing up the mihrab, or the minbar, Jibreel came to me and he said, he made dua and he said, Ya Muhammad, قُلْ آمين. And one of the dua that he made, قَالَ رَغْمَ أَنْفِ امْرِئٍ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَّهُ أَوْ أَحَدُهُمَا وَلَمْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, indeed the person who met his parents and they were not the cause of him being in Jannah, indeed he is a loser. He's a people from the people of Adab, people of Jahannam. Muhammad, say Ameen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen, Ameen. رَغْمَ أَنْفِ امْرِئٍ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَاهُ وَلَمْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. So I will say to you brothers who are sitting here, don't be against the people, don't be from the people that the Messenger of Allah made dua against them. Rather, you go home, do what you can for your mother, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. And if your mother is not around anymore, like my mother, I wish if I had a mother that I can go back to, and just kiss her head and hands. If your mother is not around, then the best that you can do is make dua. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِذَا مَاتَ بْنَ آدَمْ, when the sons of Adam died, إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ, his deeds will come to an end except one of the three things, and one of them is وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ, that they leave behind a righteous child who will make dua for them. And if you, mashallah, after you make the dua, if you can make sadaqah, give sadaqah on behalf of your mother, for those of us who can afford, I would say that would be the best that you can do for your parents. However, based on some of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not harm your mother. Do not harm your parents. If they already here, treat them well. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say about the non-Muslim mothers, the kafir mother, the one who's telling you to associate someone with Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. He said, if they struggle to make you associate someone with Allah, to make you kafir, Do not listen to them. However, he said, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا, but be good to them, be their companion in this dunya with kindness, with goodness. If your mother, I know none of your mothers inshaAllah kuffar, but if your mother is a kafir, Allah is telling you, be kind to her, be kind to her. This is what I have to say in this very quick, short reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to us as a rizq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the opportunity and the ability of doing these three things that Abdullah could not have done, could not do it because of his situation. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nowadays we take our role models as football players, rappers, and what do you say about the youth?
Any Muslim who takes or idolize these non-believers, whether they are entertainers or any other thing, then they have issues with their self-esteem. And they are ignorant about their history. We have enough to be proud of. We have enough to brag about. And the best one to follow and to take it as a role model is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have an excellent example in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the Messenger of Allah, then you have the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether you are male or female, we have them as a role models. After the Sahaba, we have the ulama, the tabi'een, the tabi'i tabi'een, immatul ummah. And they are, mashallah, their biographies are available. The biographies are available everywhere that you go, on nets, yeah, on the libraries. If you want to read in English or Arabic, they are all available for you. So take those people as role models. And remember, brothers and sisters, remember, you will be resurrected with the people that you love, the people that you like, the people that you associate yourself with on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. يَقُولُ أَنَسْ بِنُ مَالِكَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He said, a man came to the Messenger of Allah and he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, a rajulu يُحِبُّ الْقَوْمَ وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعَمَلِهِمْ. He said, a man, he may love certain people, but he never did what they did. Then he never did a salah, he never performed salah like they did. He never gave sadaqah like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He did not defend the Messenger of Allah like Talha bin Ubaidillah. He did not, you know, do and fight the enemies of Allah like Abu Dujana. He did not memorize the Quran like Zayd bin Harith, Zayd bin Thabit. And so he said, but I love them. What is the condition of that person? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, wa fi riwayah yuhsharu ma'a man ahab, the person will be resurrected with the people that whom he loved. Now on the other side, if you flip that, if you love these entertainers, if you love these, you know, Lady Gaga and whatever nonsense and this, you know, if you love those people and you like them and you listen to them, or you like watching their games if they play for the other entertainers, then you know, make sure, remember that you will be resurrected with them on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it's your call, it's your choice. You want to be resurrected with these people, or you want to be resurrected with the Salihin. It's your call. So associate yourself with the people who will lead you to Allah, who will remind you of Akhirah, who will lead you to Jannah, who will always encourage you to do good things, and do not associate yourself with the people who are already booked their tickets to a different destination than yours. Now. Yes.
Can I ask you a question, but it's not related to this topic? You know, if, for example, you're involved in a river, do you know what's the punishment or and if there is a way out of it, how you repent to Allah about it?
No. The riba, ya ikhwati fillah, is one of major sins. If you commit any other sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, including riba as well, may forgive you or may not forgive you, unless you repent from them. But the only sin that Allah will wage war against you is interest. If you, may Allah protect all the Muslims, if you commit adultery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say He will wage war against you. Rather, He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. He warned us against it. If you lie, Allah said, do not be with those people, with the liars. And the Messenger of Allah said, but He never said He will wage war against you. But when you commit, and when you start dealing with interest, this is the only time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَالَ فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He said, then here, you know, prepare yourself, war against Allah and His messenger. Abdullah ibn Abbas said in the tafsir of this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the servant of His a sword or a weapon. And He will say to him, go and fight Allah and His messenger. And you will be giving a weapon. And then they will say to you, go and fight Allah and His messenger on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَأَنَّا لَكَ ذَلِكَ. And how can you fight Allah and His messenger? So you know the person who commits this, he's doomed. What are the sins? What are the punishment? And how severe is the sin? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith حَسَّنَهُ الْأَلْبَانِ وَغَيْرِ, in one of the narrations, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, If you consume interest, is like committing adultery 36 times. I'm asking you a question. If you know your friend just committed adultery that number of times, would you still be friend with that person? Would you still, if your person is related to you, would you still live with that person? In another narration, it goes over that. And it says, it's like committing adultery that number of times. If someone tells you there's someone who committed adultery with his mother in Norway, most likely you would not even want to go to Norway. Letting alone being with that person, sitting with that person, talking with that person, you know, befriending that person. If someone tells you, on the top of all these two, the person is committed that number of zina, not with a stranger, with his own mother, not in anywhere, but inside the haram, none of you would be friend with that person again, or even be close to that person. So interest is one of the worst sins that a person can commit. The person who is doing it, the person who is witnessing the contract, the person who is facilitating, the person who is doing anything, they all in the same category, they all curse. So it's not something that we should take it light. If anyone is dealing with that, he should repent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come out of it. I think that would be enough, inshallah. JazakAllah.